Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 30. Tom is all grown up. He's an IT pro. Here we go. Today our guest is Julio Urquidy. Sorry if I messed it up, Julio. How you doing?
That's okay. Fine, thank you.
All right. So, Julio, you work with one of the cool websites out in the business. Before we talk about the new thing, can you tell me a little bit about you and the media group you work for and what you do?
Sure. I work for Best in Media Group. It's a French online publisher, and they basically run Tom's Hardware. Tom's Hardware has been around since the mid-90s. It was started by Dr. Tom Pabst, but over the years, it's been moved around a bit, and Best in Media is the current owner. Basically, the original Tom's Hardware site was, Dr. Pabst, what he did is he would overclock CPUs. He would work on stuff that gamers found really interesting and real fun to work with. And it became a really popular website. You know, people kind of jumped on, started doing reviews on video cards and motherboards and stuff like that. And I've known about the site since right after college for myself. And the site's been doing really well, for the past decade and a half. And aside from Tom's Hardware, we also have Tom's Games, and we also have Tom's Guide, which is a consumer site.
You know, everybody's heard of Tom's Hardware, and that's one of those defining brands that is like a required competency for nerdhood. Okay, so nerdhood might be a little bit too harsh, but you get the point. Everybody's heard of Tom's Hardware, but Tom was a doctor? Get out. Tell me more about this.
It's interesting because I come from a healthcare background. I've been working for a hospital for about 17 years, and some of these folks out there in the medical field, they're really, really bright, and I've seen some really great doctors who are also really great technicians and great visionaries when it comes to this stuff. So I'm coming from that side. I'm not surprised that, Dr. Paz is actually able to do what he did.
That's true. That's true. My wife, she works in a law firm, and one of the early part of her career, a person she worked with like 25 years ago or so literally went to a store, bought a book, and then over a weekend wrote a billing system for billing legal hours. I mean, you smart people are smart people, and if they want to do something, they can get it done. So I think that transcends the confines of a job description. So that's pretty cool.
I agree. And just to be able to have that creativity in them to actually be able to go out and do what they want to do other than just a regular job, I mean, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, true. I can appreciate that. So, what we want to talk about, and by the title I said, Tom's all grown up. He's an IT pro. What's coming from Best of Media?
So the site will not necessarily be targeting the CEOs, the CIOs, or the directors. I mean, eventually they'll be making a decision of whether they're going to purchase something or not. But how they base that decision is going to be coming from the information they get from the technicians and from the IT managers themselves. So we're really trying to push, the fact that we want the site to go to the larger audience. Because in a sense, you also think about it. You have IT manager. You have one IT manager, and maybe you might have like 5 to 15 people underneath them. The number of IT pros out there is pretty big. I mean, it's a pretty big audience, and I don't think it's really been hit correctly with some of the other sites. A lot of the sites kind of like I think they target too wide of an audience, and a lot of times, like for me personally, I unless a headline really catches my attention, in someone's newsletter, I generally kind of skip over a lot of these sites.
Oh, don't get me started on the titling. Oh, it's like brainwashing material. Five ways that it is good for you to do this, or you're not alone in this problem, or warning, this is the best way to destroy data, or whatever. It's like there's so many strategies to be catchy on the title. I just naturally don't do them, though. That's just me.
It just kind of goes over your head after a while because it's not what catches attention. What you want to know, and like for me personally, I'm a big stickler about foundations. what is networking? I mean, like, what is TCPIP? You know, what is the basic information you need about TCPIP? Not necessarily how to use a wizard to configure your IP address on your computer. You know, that stuff changes all the time. The important stuff is the foundational stuff, the stuff that, you know, that doesn't change the evergreen product, you know, or the evergreen content.
Sure.
And that's one of the things I appreciate about the stuff that we're doing right now with the site, is because we're focusing on that stuff. You know, and we are going to end up bringing other products in, like time charter reviews and stuff like that. But our goal is not to take too much of the IT Pro's time. You know, we want to keep our articles short and concise. You know, we're not going for the 7 to 10 page articles that, you know, generally you see on some of the other sites. You know, because we don't think that the IT pros have all that time to sit at their desk and go through the entire article. They want to find something, they'll look for it. But let's make the search a little shorter.
Well, I agree with you. I think that the IT pro of today generally searches for point solutions. Now, there's a difference of, okay, I'm going to read what's on the site today, or Monday or Tuesday or whatever day I want to do that, or I'm going to read the newsletter. But you know, live and die by the Google search hit, right? You know, we're all out there for searching for best way to do X or fix problem Y, okay? And we don't have all that much time, so we do have to have, you know, some concise resources that help us get our jobs done. And you know, I'm a blogger, so I work to try to contribute to that. Not so much in the titling, but mainly in the body, because I'm really writing to the person searching to the problem I just found an answer to. Now, I'm looking at the topics of Tom's IT Pro. A lot of these topics are, you know, really talking to the admin, the server admin, the infrastructure administrator, you know, cloud computing, virtualization, hardware and software especially. Because those are topics, in my opinion, that are ground up or bottom up type technologies, where, you know, the admin, you know, gets his eyes on these types of things, and even mobility, really, for like mobile devices, call it consumerization of IT. But, you know, when our admins, our IT pro workforce, which is a smart group, when we get a hold of these technologies or hear of other people doing these things, it's like, oh wow, I could do it in my environment. And then we've all been heroes in virtualization of, you know, saving a lot of hardware money or something like that. But I think you're really trying to talk to that person who's, you know, empowered to the solution yet has to deal with problems. And hopefully you can really bring in a lot of different stuff. You know, is there any one of those categories that are the strongest within the site, or at least that you're trying to focus the most content on initially?
You know, not necessarily, but we try to balance everything out. But I will say that the one thing that I did start to learn to appreciate more is cloud computing. I mean, coming from an IT background, you know, like, a lot of the stuff I did was hands-on, you know, whether it's like, you know, swapping out hard drives, you know, or bounding servers, stuff like that. And when I first heard about cloud computing, like, several years ago, I was like, well, it's just basically outsourcing, you know. But to me, to a certain degree, over time, I learned that there are certain benefits to the cloud computing model. You know, coming from an enterprise environment, you know, cloud computing could possibly solve some problems for us in terms of, like, hardware maintenance, you know. But to a certain degree, I was also concerned about the people who worked, you know, who worked on the floor, who basically would not have to do this stuff anymore. Well, what are they going to do?
Right.
You know, but to a certain point, I started realizing that, you know, people can probably just do other things other than just getting their hands dirty. I mean, people can go out and learn SQL. People can learn more about Linux. You know, it's for me, to a certain degree, cloud computing has kind of opened up quite a bit in terms of, and not saying I'm getting into it, but I think for a business, it's a great option. I think for the hands-on technicians, it's something that they're going to have to realize that, you know, things are changing. I wrote a little short article about comparing to the Pony Express. You know, back in the late 1800s, you know, you had the Pony Express. You had these guys riding these horses from, let's say, New York to California in 10 days, delivering mail back and forth. Now, when they put out the telegraph not too long after the Pony Express started, the Pony Express shut down almost immediately. But what did these guys do, you know, after they lost their jobs? Well, one of them became Wild Bill Hickok. So it's interesting to see that there are other options out there, you know, to do stuff, you know, especially within IT. You know, it's like I said, I for myself, we use the cloud right now because we're checking out, you know, Office 365. And you know what the great thing is, I don't have to ever worry about having to reboot a server if our SharePoint server should ever go down, because it's already in the cloud. And I can focus on other things.
It really only took 10 days to move a letter from coast to coast with the Pony Express?
That's what I read.
I'm going to go to Wikipedia right now and check it up. That is, I'm totally amazed by that. We'll get to, we'll get to the online office stuff. But man, that is awesome. I mean, I'm a biker, okay, and I'm like all proud of myself for biking 60 miles last weekend in one stretch without passing out. But to, you know, poor horses, wow, get out, that's crazy.
Well, the journey you have to think about, they probably had to fine tune what they were doing over the time, you know, during the time they were actually running the Pony Express. Maybe 10 days might be a little off, but to a certain degree, we weren't there back then, so we don't really know. But you know, it's possible. The point is though that it did take a while for the mail to get there, but they had a system set up. Mm-hmm. You know, and like I said, once they put the telegraph out there, you know, they finally got near instantaneous messaging. You know, for that era.
Sure.
You know? I mean, as soon as that last post went into the ground, you know, Pony Express was pretty much done.
Yeah, and I think, you know, there are occasionally, here's an example, something I actually know a lot about was the ice industry before there were ice makers. There was a whole industry of people, you know, yanking up ice up north and then holding it and delivering it and storing it and all that kind of stuff. And once the ice maker came along, that industry was gone. So,
right.
You know, I went to the ice museum. I was totally mm-hmm. amazed by all this stuff. So there are the occasional, you know, category killers that come up like that. I don't think that, you know, cloud computing is going to do that entirely for, you know, what we consider a traditional infrastructure of today. But I think something big and easy like Office 365. Tell me about Office 365. I read your blog post before we talked here, or another person's post on the site, where you know, it was seemed to be a pretty straightforward upgrade, yet it moved everything to SharePoint Online. What do you know about that?
Well, I personally didn't have any problems or anything that we're already talking about. The whole deal with Office 365 is basically you have these web versions of Word and Excel and PowerPoint, and you basically, you know, it's like, let's say for the editing process, let's say someone writes an article, we'll post it on our SharePoint site mm-hmm. on Office 365. You know, we can use the Word online to edit that file, or we can also use it to download to our computer, edit it, and check it back in again. So those changes get posted immediately. It's a great workflow tool, you know, in the sense that, you know, we don't have to have these different versions of files flying back and forth everywhere. That one file is in one spot, and one person can edit it, update it, and have it ready for the next person.
It's also cool because you're dealing with a contributor base, so these aren't employees. These aren't people on your quote-unquote corporate network, right? So it's a collaboration-friendly solution, yeah?
Very collaborative, yeah. And it's something that we've needed for a long time. And that's one of the reasons I was, like I said, I'm so happy that I don't have to set up a SharePoint server somewhere and have to maintain it. Microsoft, it's already in the cloud. It's on the 365 site.
Right. You're an editor, not a SharePoint admin, right? You want to get your content flowing and, you know, line up the best contributors, get the best content out, not have to worry about that flow. That I can appreciate. What about the cost? Is it free, or how's that work?
I think it ranges depending on the package you're getting. So we already have Office mm-hmm. on our machines. So I think the cost is $6 for the online versions, but it gets a little bit. I think the price goes up if you need to get a local version of Office yourself.
Oh, okay. So online only is pretty inexpensive, but then online collaboration plus local run. Okay. Yeah, see, I don't always have the band. I don't always have internet connectivity. That's the thing. I probably 90% of the time, but I don't know. I feel dirty not being able to make stuff offline. I don't know.
I think, I mean, like I said, it's somewhat still in its infancy. You know, the product's maturing. I was speaking to one of the Microsoft reps over at WPC this year here in LA. And the Worldwide Partner Conference, and they were telling me, you know, they're probably looking at, you know, big updates every 6 months or so. So, you know, like right now, you have PowerPoint, you have Word, you have Excel, you have Outlook, you know, you have the calendaring, stuff like that. So it kind of gives you some good stuff, but I would love to see better stuff. Like I would like to see better editing capabilities. Like you know, we do a lot of drafts, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, we want to see people's changes, and all that stuff has to be done locally. It can't be done on the web apps side of things. So we have to download the file and edit it there. But, you know, I think things will get better. I think it'll improve. They're really pushing, the cloud solutions. I mean, like hard, like big time. Mm-hmm. At the WPC, the Steve Ballmer was speaking, and, you know, it was just like, cloud this, cloud this, cloud this, cloud this. You know, it's like it was all about the cloud, which is good. You know, Microsoft has its competitors as well, but you know, you can totally see that they're totally pushing the solution out there.
Well, I worry about, you know, the cloud message being pushed too hard. I don't know. Sometimes I'm an old stick in the mud, you know, brick and mortar IT guy, but mm-hmm. I just want to, you know, make sure I don't cut anything out that I need to do, because I, you know, some of my background is in, you know, mid-enterprise size environments, you know, supporting a call center. Okay, that would never fly, it's the cloud, mm-hmm. at a bank on top of that too. Okay, no way. So I have trouble sometimes, you know, taking something like a keynote, mm-hmm. that says cloud everything and here we go, and then trying to apply that to everybody sitting in the audience, and I'm just being a stick in the mud, and I'm getting my head wrapped around that sometimes.
And that's fine. Yeah, you know, like I said, they're just really pushing their partners to really start pushing the cloud themselves. Because, I mean, I agree with you. The other thing also is you have the public clouds, right? You have 365. You have Google Apps, stuff like that. But they also give you the ability to build your own cloud within your environment, so you don't have to go outside of your own environment to run a cloud. You know, they also have, you know, they have the few scenarios. They have the external cloud, they have the internal clouds, and then they have the hybrid, which is a combination of the two.
Right, right, and that's critical too. You got to have hybrid or private as an option. You can't just right click, upload, send it away, turn off your data center. I'll never do that. Well, you know, you bring up a good point, because once one, you know, solution is not necessarily perfect for all, and I like what your site does, and you have a very easy way to comment on posts. You know, you do log in either with, it looks like, Facebook, Google, Yahoo, Twitter, LinkedIn, Orkut, Foursquare, MySpace, yeah. Messenger, you got them all. That's LinkedIn, get out. That's awesome. Anyways, you can log in and you know, start dialogue on the posts. I think that's critical, because that's really allowing, you know, your reader base to interact with, yeah, I agree with you, or yeah, you forgot this, or you're totally full of crap for this reason. So that's good stuff. And that happens, you know, if you're writing stuff, like you have to have thick skin. You got to be able to take off all of those. And what I always used to tell myself is, chances are, you know, 10% of the people reading this post know it better than me. So you got to be ready for some feedback, right?
And I think the whole social networking aspect is important too. You know, I think one of the problems with social networking though is sometimes you hit too big of an audience, and so your message kind of gets diluted out there. So we need to find ways of actually being able to focus, you know, on the specific Facebook servers we need, Facebook users we need to communicate with, you know, or the LinkedIn users, or, you know, it's finding it, and I know it's social networking itself is still somewhat, you know, still being worked on. You know, it's not necessarily an infant anymore, but it's like a teenager, I guess, in a sense. You know, and people are still kind of like working on it, trying to get it to work even better. And, you know, a great way, again, like I said, is like just finding a way to be able to focus on the specific folks that need the information that we provide.
Do you have a preferred social network integration? I mean, I hate to say it, but there's so much, at least on the consumer side, marketing data behind Facebook, you know, so they really, you know, think that that's good stuff. I mean, have you seen either in some of your other sites or at least in the early on sites at Tom's IT Pro, any of the social media interactions being better than others?
Not necessarily. I mean, like I think maybe LinkedIn might be the one particular social media that might be able to help us focus more on IT professionals, because, you know, you send out on LinkedIn, you put down your information in your profile, you put in you're an IT person or something like that.
Right.
That kind of makes it easier for us to find you, or you for to find us.
Gotcha.
But in terms of preference right now, I don't think we have one right now. I mean, you know, except for maybe the LinkedIn thing I just mentioned.
Well, that's good. I mean, simply put, I'm a Twitter type of guy myself, but I hang around all these other networks just out of necessity. I guess I like Twitter the best, but Google Plus has some potential. I'm starting to feel that. So, you know, and that may all change too. So you have to be adaptive, and I'm pretty sure, you know, your web team has selected a good platform that lets you kind of move those through no problem. So that's cool.
Yeah, and you don't know who's going to be the star of the moment, if, you know, on a given day. Google Plus is great and everything, but it's like I just don't know enough about it to completely move on to it.
Sure.
Right.
Well, what you know, it's kind of in beta officially now, and today is August 1st. When will the site go live?
We're looking at I believe it's mid-September.
Okay, but people can still log on, interact with it, you know, as if it were live.
Exactly. The site right now currently is in beta. You know, we're still adding content to it on a daily basis. You know, we're working from home, we're working from the office, we're just trying to get stuff edited. You know, we're taking submissions from folks out there to you know, who want to write about the stuff. And you know, what we really want is we want to attack, you know, these topics from the IT pro's perspective. So we're trying to find writers, you know, who have been in the trenches, who know, you know, what they're talking about. Not necessarily people who are, you know, reiterating what they've heard at, you know, in a keynote or in a lecture or in a manual or something like that. We want people who know what they're doing to come up and, you know, say that they're interested in writing for us. And, you know, they're free to contact me if they want.
Okay, cool. Well, let's get to that part of the show. On Twitter, you are at Julio Tom's IT Pro. That's at Julio Tom's IT Pro. And I'm going to put that in the podcast notes so that people
awesome.
Can track you down. And the website is tomsitpro.com. Now, I take it the URL is going to stay the same once it goes live, yeah?
Yes,
cool.
Exactly.
Cool. All right, well, hey, Julio, let's transition to the next part of the podcast that I've got, and that's a section that I call Three Views from You. I'm going to ask you three questions, each referenced in a different point of time, and I'm going to start with the past. So, Julio, in your whole experience, you know, technology and the greater technology, you know, footprint that it has, what's the coolest story from your past or situation that you could tell us or share with us as a story?
Yeah, I have to say that, and this is from the recent past, that I probably had one of the best jobs for an IT person. And it was basically, I was working for an educational hospital. And the hospital, it's an EDU, so they get university, you know, they'll get like university discounts, right, or educational discounts from the vendors. But on top of that, it's a for-profit organization. So compared to the rest of campus, we always had the best toys to play with. You know, we were one of the first departments to go to virtualization. We were one of the first departments to have a 16-way server. You know, it just opened up so many doors for us, and I learned a lot from that experience. And that's probably one of the greatest experiences I had in terms of IT. Just that last job.
Yeah, I tell you, that's what it takes. It takes one job that, you know, opens up your eyes and you know, lets you spread your wings and go at it. I can definitely relate to that. How about right now? What's the most interesting thing going on or area of technology that you have the most passion in right now?
You know, and we talked about this already, but I think the whole cloud computing movement, because it basically takes everything we've done in terms of virtualization, in terms of using Linux, in terms of using Windows, in terms of different ways of networking now. You know, it's pretty much a big, it's the big, what do you call it, the big basket of goodies that you always played with in one big container.
Oh yeah, it's everything you want from the candy store, or you know, you and me and all the technologists out there walking through like a HP, Dell, or a CDW distribution center, you know, you got like four minutes to fill up your shopping cart, you know, one of those old contests from back in the day. How cool was that? Rock on.
And the fun part about it is also like just learning all the new acronyms that come along with it, you know, software as a service, infrastructure as a service. It's funny how like these terms come up almost out of nowhere sometimes.
Sure. How about into the future? What's the most interesting thing you see longer term technology wise that you know you foresee you'd have the most interest in?
You know what? I mean, I want to say the ultimate operating system. You know, the simplicity of Windows with the complexity of Linux. That's kind of how I want to see it. This is just my dream OS. But, you know, it's like with Linux, you know, you have the ability to fine-tune, you know, certain applications to the point where, like, you know, you're not necessarily writing the application, but you just have that ability to line by line change the configuration files and make it the way you really want it to be, you know. And with Windows, you know, it's like you have an operating system that you have maybe 7 or 8 Windows admins to every Unix administrator or Linux administrator. Want to see it where, you know, it gets to the point where like this dream OS is basically accessible to everybody and everyone can use it. Not just one guy, but maybe those all 8 guys, you know, out of the 8 administrators.
Well, that would be pretty cool. I'd complicate it a little bit and then throw your mobile device platform into the mix, right? You know, your phone or your tablet. How does that? Can you use the same OS for them all? Can it transcend that experience? And yeah, I don't know. I think you're onto something.
Pretty cool. And the thing is, like, I think concerning like I I'm not a Microsoft hater and I'm not a Linux hater. I've learned to use both of them to get my job done. You know, and if anything, you know, it's like I love the idea that Microsoft is. You know, the whole deal with Windows 7 or Windows 8 is that, you know, they want to make it cross-platform OS, same OS on your tablet that you have on your laptop, that you have on your desktop, that you have on your phone. You know, and they're kind of getting that direction. You know, but I like I said, it's like I just want to see that super OS that can do the exact same thing.
Cool. Well, hey, let's start wrapping it up here a little bit. I did mention that you are on Twitter, at JulioTomsITPro. The website will be www.tomsitpro.com. And, of course, there's Tom's Hardware, which everybody's heard of, Tom's Guide, and then Tom's Games. And you can easily find all those from your Google search. Julio, hey, I do appreciate you taking the time to be on the podcast.
Thank you very much.